Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello there, my very good friends. On today's delayed wrestling news video, I'm going to tell you the real reason WWE fired Braun Strowman.
The WWE roster are being told to head to the Performance Center ahead of WWE heading out on the road in July.
We have some new details on the reported working relationship between WWE and New Japan.
And the NWA World's Heavyweight Champion Nick Aldis names the three guys in WWE he'd love to face. I'm Adam Wilborn.
And I'm Andy Murray.
And this is the slightly delayed news.
All right, let's kick things off by talking about this week's WWE departures again, a little bit more. Dave Meltzer in the Wrestling Observer newsletter this week has some new details talking about each of the individual cases and why they were let go. Of course, the cited reason for all of this is budget cuts, which, you know, we've been through that a thousand million gazillion times before. There you go. Johnny Laurinaitis sent out the coldest text message I've ever seen to the WWE roster, just saying, the following people are gone because of budget. All right, good stuff, Johnny Ace. Very, very, very personable there. But Dave's got some other stuff in the Observer newsletter here, talking about how Vince McMahon didn't understand Aleister Black and Buddy Murphy's style of wrestling, which is like, I mean, okay, cool, sure. probably their biggest strong point for both of those guys. They're wrestling, but never mind. And as far as Braun Strowman goes, apparently, and this is kind of nuts, the belief was that he was kind of obsolete as a main roster giant or a main roster monster now that Omos and Commander Aziz are around.
And possibly
Shanky as well, which is nuts because Shanky showed up with Jinder Mahal in the big comeback and hasn't really been seen since. Okay. So also, of course, his salary, his reported salary of $1.2 million a year, that probably didn't help his situation either. And also, Dave notes that when Braun was negotiating his last contract, he made the mistake of not pushing for a no-cut clause, which is actually something that a lot of top-level WWE people have that would have spared him in a situation like this. And perhaps he thought, well, I've just signed this big long-term contract. Maybe I don't need something like that. So sucks for Braun, obviously, a tough situation for him. But yeah, the kind of like the idea that you can only have like one or two big lads at once is a bit strange to me. But hey, here we are. It's what's happened. Braun's gone. Get ready for Shanky Universal Champion in the year of our Lord 2022.
Honestly, put Vince McMahon in a home. What is he thinking? I mean, I'm not surprised by this, but looking at like Aleister Black and Buddy Murphy and just going, just don't get what their appeal is when they bang out matches for fun despite the terrible booking they're given. Like, you're going to sit in a room for a year, you're going to date Rey Mysterio's daughter, and yet they still can produce excellent stuff in between the ropes. That's what they were good at, and the fact he doesn't understand that is bonkers. And again, the fact that, oh, I've got more big guys now, why do I need this one? Maybe because you've invested in him, you've built him up to be this talent now, and I know he maybe wasn't everyone's cup of tea around WrestleMania Backlash. But, you know, a few years ago, he was the big thing. And maybe he was a little bit green then. So now he's matured into it. And don't just think because you've got Big Jord and Commander Aziz and Shanky, as you said, they're not just big. They're not the same. It's not a hole in the wall. You're not going to get through that. And just because they're big or they'll get through that hole. It's, oh my God, it's maddening this, Andy.
Yeah, it's wild. It's totally wild. it's the madness of King Vince at the end of the day, isn't it?
Yeah, don't be surprised at this, but It's still just so depressing to hear things like this. And it's not all good if you're still a part of the WWE roster, because according again to Dave Meltzer in the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Raw and SmackDown roster members are being told to get to the performance center to make sure they are in shape and get ready and work on conditioning and what have you for when they hit the road again from the 16th of July. Now, to those who live in and around the area, no big deal. Everyone else is a massive pain in the arse, with Dave quoting, those who live outside of Orlando were not happy because it interrupts their home life and routine, as you would expect, especially those with families, and many can train on their own and do conditioning while at home as well. But no, they've got to be there. They've got to be punching their card and making sure they're getting in the necessary hours in the performance center. And yeah, I mean, you'd hope that they'd maintain their conditioning regardless of what was been going on in terms of being utilised within WWE or not. But apparently now this is school and they've got to be checked and made sure that they're right to go from mid-July, Andy.
Yeah, you can't do. You guys can't be trusted to do this at home. You've got to do it with mummy and daddy watching on. You know, I sympathise with the wrestlers here, because when the powers that be here at What Culture told me and you, guys, you need to get in the gym, we're moving back to a more regular studio schedule, do it now, I responded by ordering a Domino's pizza, adding to my physical decline in lockdown. But yeah, I mean, this just comes across as babying through the whole situation, doesn't it? And yes, you need to be in better physical condition and have more stamina and everything else when you're working a busier schedule. That's just common sense. But, you know, people who are designed, who keep themselves in shape for a living by default can probably do that at home. I'm just saying.
I do what I'd say if I was part of that roster. All right, I'll come in and train and get even more jacked than I already am.
Yeah.
How about we get the creative team to maybe come in and, you know, write some good stuff for mid-July. Yeah. Just a thought.
That would be a nice thought. You know what I would do? I'd probably just take a bunch of steroids, to be perfectly honest. Although, you know, if you're in WWE and you do that, you will get fired. So, don't do that. We've got some new details on the reported working relationship between WWE and New Japan, which shocked a lot of people last week when those talks emerged on Friday in The Observer. Dave Meltzer again, Wrestling Observer newsletter. I'm well aware we've said his name three times, which is going to piss certain mutants off, but we don't care. It's a foremost wrestling journalist. Talking about some new details on this situation. Nick Khan isn't the guy who originally came up with this idea, but he's described as the point guy on it, and he may have recommended that Vince McMahon pursue a potential working relationship with New Japan. Now, as far as this goes, the motivation has nothing to do with screwing with AEW, Pinocchio, and it would likely be NXT focused and have benefit. It would need to have benefits to both sides, is basically what Dave's trying to say here. He cites back to WWE's old working relationships with Japanese wrestling promotions as well. Daniel Bryan was part of the early conversations. Absolutely, we've heard reports of him wanting to wrestle elsewhere and campaigning for WWE wrestlers to be able to do that, but hasn't necessarily been involved lately. Of course, he's no longer under WWE contract unless it's a work. New Japan will not agree to anything unless they feel the agreement would benefit them. So, of course, last week we had Tony Khan, for some reason, cutting a promo on Nick Khan that he ran past the New Japan office and they said was fine, which would suggest that maybe things aren't going to progress all that far. But we'll see. This is a developing situation, of course. It's a big deal. It really is a big deal. And I'm sure we will have more on this as the weeks progress.
Yes, I think a WWE New Japan relationship is unlikely, but I'm still impressed by the fact that we've gone a week and it hasn't been directly blown out of the water and poo-pooed left, right and centre. It's fascinating, this. It's exciting. It's, you know, probably going to be more of a relationship, as you alluded to there, Andy, between the likes of AEW and Impact and New Japan, as we've already seen. But who knows? With the way things have gone over the last, what, 3-4 years in wrestling, I wouldn't be surprised. Well, I would, but never say never has never been more appropriate than right now. So let us know your thoughts on the feasibility of that as we continue forward. Just mentioning Daniel Bryan makes me suddenly will it far more than I did originally, of course. But let's conclude by talking about the NWA World Heavyweight Champion, Nick Aldis. He did a great interview recently with Checks Notes. Oh, what coach is Adam Wilborn? Wow, look at that. And it's not Dave Meltzer, it's someone better than him. I mean, I'm not saying that, but, you know, I've heard other people say. No, I sat down with Nick just the other day to promote the NWA When Our Shadows 4 pay-per-view, which goes down this Sunday on Fight TV at a reasonable time, like afternoon in America, but the evening, and you can actually watch it. Anyway, I sat down and spoke to him. The full interview will be coming out as a podcast over the weekend. A video also will be on our channel as well. And I asked him about if that whole Forbidden Door bollocks, oh, every promotion can work together, who he'd love to face. And speaking of WWE, he named two former world champions and one current world champion. That's what I'm trying to say. Three people, basically. It's late on a Friday. I'm just confused. He talked about Randy Orton. He said, right now, if I could wrestle anyone for the title in a title match, this is his NWA World Heavyweight title, of course, he's talking about, with that really sort of classic build that we like to do for title matches and at times luxuriate in it and give our full attention, it'd be Randy Orton. He also talked a lot about Edge and his relationship with him. You can read his quotes on this story at whatculture.com, as I said, watch or listen to the interview over the weekend. And then it turned, of course, to Roman Reigns. Who wouldn't want to face him? He says, I've always thought Roman was the man, even when people were really trying hard to poop on him. I've always thought he was the man. Now he's finally is, because he's been allowed to be himself and embrace his position. He's incredible. Dude, right now, if I was able to work with anyone, why would it not be him? He and I, think about that as a contrast. What a great story that would be. He continued talking about the likes of Kazuchika Okada, who he'd love to face in New Japan. But I'm a big, big fan of Nick Aldis. He was great to chat to. He's really interesting, talking about like sports entertainment versus wrestling, particularly with what they're doing over there in the NWA. And heaped praise on the likes of Serena Deeb, of course, as well. But yeah, exciting potential matches there, Andy.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to hear he's praising the greatest wrestler of all time, Serena Deeb, on the same video. So I'm not even saying that facetiously. I love Serena Deeb. She's amazing. Yeah, this is a great interview. Even if you're not so familiar with like the modern NWA and stuff, you got to check this out. Like, Nick is such an engaging talker. He has some very deep thoughts on pro wrestling. He's a very interesting guy. And, you know, I quite like the interviewer as well. He's not bad either. So, yeah, definitely check this out when it goes live. Nick's been, how long has he been NWA champion for? Like 2 years now or something like that?
950 plus days, I think it was, when I interviewed him.
So that's closer than 3 years. Fair play to him. He's doing some great stuff. And check out Shadows Fall. When Shadows Fall, when Our Shadow Falls this weekend as well.
He's facing Trevor Murdoch. That is polar opposites facing each other, the NBA World Heavyweight Champion, When Our Shadows Fall this Sunday, live on Fight on pay-per-view, of course. And let's move on to your Twitter questions at WhatCultureWWE. First question today comes from Mr. Surprise Rollup, who says, how long do you think it will be until every promotion is too full to take in WWE-released talent? Sure seems like we are reaching that point a lot quicker than we would have anticipated.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you could make the point, and I wouldn't necessarily disagree with you, that AEW has already reached that point. Even for, you know, Rampage is coming along, that's an extra hour of television and everything else. But yeah, it's a valid point for sure. Impact, maybe they have a little more room. They were teasing signing like 700 dudes in their Slammiversary vignette, so they appeared confident at least of being able to accommodate for additions and everything else. You're absolutely right. I wouldn't like to sit here and go, yes, 1 month from now, the rosters will be too full or anything like it. But I think it's a very interesting conversation. And yeah, particularly pertinent for AEW. I will say at the end of the day, though, if a free agent enters the market and that free agent can benefit your business, you have to sign them, regardless of the situation. If they can boost you and help your promotion, you sign them no matter what. So, yeah, people are going to make moves for Aleister Black, for Samoa Joe, for Ruby Riott and people like that straight away, no doubt.
Yeah, I no doubt that AEW will find some space if they need to for the likes of Aleister Black and Ruby Riott, who I think would do wonders as well for that fast-developing women's division over there. But yeah, it's too simple to just say, oh, everyone who's been released should just go to AEW, because then you're just going to have the same problems that they had in WWE. And like you say, there are other places they can go, but it's filling up fast. It's not as straightforward as you may think. Second question today comes from The Whatever, who says, hi, legends. My question is, do you think every Raw and SmackDown will be like ones after WrestleMania when the crowds come back? Also, do you think WWE will have their work cut out for them if the crowds end up being vocal about the past year? It's going to be tasty in a month or so, Andy.
Sure is. I don't think every single Raw or SmackDown will have that feel, because it's very tough to keep that level of energy. Mm-hmm. And even from a storytelling standpoint, you've got to come up with big pop and surprises for every single week. recent WWE programming hasn't catered to that, shall we be polite about it. But yeah, there's definitely going to be a different feel. There's definitely be some kind of energized feel. And it's going to be very interesting to read the crowd reactions. We have no idea what's over at the moment because we've spent a year without proper crowds. Stuff that WWE thought was over is not going to be over. Stuff that they didn't think was over is going to be over. If they listen to these reactions, they will adjust their booking accordingly, tear up some plans, write some new ones, reconfigure a few things here and there. But at the end of the day, I also don't think they care. it's going to be very interesting nonetheless.
And judging what they've been doing on Raw recently, the previous weeks they were like, well, that was the good stuff. We've got to save that for when crowds come back. Let's put the real crap out now. Insane. I hope you're right, the whatever. I hope you're right in terms of the fact that it will be just wall-to-wall post-WrestleMania excitement. But I do think that if they don't deliver, got to tell them. There's only one way they will learn, and that is the vocal crowd reaction. And even then, as Andy said, they might just go, I just pipe in the old crowd noise, that worked. Final question today comes from II Ron, who says, since AEW now has Wild Thing, Tarzan Boy and the Pixies for entrance music, what song would you pick for your own entrance themes and the What Culture staff as a faction's entrance? Personally, I think Phil Chambers should enter to Born to be Wild. Great shout.
Very good. Very good. For myself, I would go Big Beast by Killer Mike because I am a large animal. Aside from that, the serious answer is Do You Really Want to Hurt Me by Culture Club. Because, who could want to hurt this guy? Am I right?
Yeah. I think whenever I've done wrestling entrances with friends, I've used All of the Lights by Kanye West. But
fair.
to go with the gimmick, simply the best, Tina Turner. Is this the best entrance theme ever? I don't know how it worked right there. And in terms of a group faction thing, you suggested the NWO theme, which is great, which is just a boy popper in the What Culture Obvious. Maybe we'd get Rick Boogs to play us to the ring. I thought, you know, like the da-da-da-da-da, bum-bum-bum-bum, like that, but just as Right to Censor theme. So you just that on a loop is really pissing people off.
What if we played A Millie by Lil Wayne twice in a row because we've got 2 million subscribers now? Why don't we do that? Or play it on top of each other, one backwards, one forward, so it's just a mess. Let's do that. Why not?
Yeah, exactly. Feel free to let us know your suggestions for all of our themes in the comment section below. We'll move on to today's. And finally, just some lovely news. Congratulations to Hangman Page and his partner, who announced on Instagram overnight that they've got baby on the way. Fantastic news, Andy. Lovely way to end the week.
Great news indeed. Shout-outs to Adam Page and his other half, I guess.
Yeah. Congratulations. Surprised there isn't a cowboy hat on this sodding ultrasound, to be honest, but still. Right, let us know your thoughts on that and all today's news stories in the comments section below. Don't forget to like, share and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast from. Daily Wrestling Podcast, that interview with Nick Aldis, got the SmackDown preview, the AEW Dynamite preview, and Wrestle Culture with a hashtag Bloody Good Quiz a little bit later on today. Plus, let us know your thoughts, Twitter questions, Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, there, follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at
Andy H. Murray. The H stands for Happy Having a Baby Holiday. Hangman.
Nice alliteration. Follow me at Adam Wall. Nice. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. But for now, my thanks, Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to Amazon.com/sports-ad-free. That's Amazon.com/sports-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.